At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media station.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texans dominated Saturday. They dominated. They dominated the game. They were swarming all over the field. Starters, two series, offense, defense. Daniel Jones and the giant offense had to play the entire half so they could feel good leaving the game because they were getting dominated by the Texans defense. Texans good, Giants bad. Which of the two is more true?
I think I'm going to go Texans good.
Okay.
I'm going to go Texans good. I mean, Daniel Jones did pretty much gift wrap the pick six, and he can throw it to you in a heartbeat. But I think that it just was more and more encouraging every time I see this team go out on the field that both sides of the ball are going to be exciting. As much as we talk about the weapons for CJ on offense, but when you look at the defense and you look at the possibilities and then getting stronger after week six when you get Autry back, I think both sides of the football, this is going to be a fun year to really be on both sides of the football and watch how this team performs.
It's probably both. Daniel Jones is awful. Yeah. Like, he is so bad. He's going to cost people his job.
Was one of the worst throws I've seen in a long time.
And look,
worst decisions in a long time.
And I get the panic. Like, I understand. Like, this is why getting to the quarterback matters so much. Put pressure on the quarterback, and they look totally different. If you give any quarterback, if you give Daniel Jones time to sit in the pocket and just cherry pick where he wants to go with the football, he's going to look good. He's going to look good because it's the NFL, and he's one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the world, top 45 quarterbacks in the world. But even a top 45 quarterback, you give them time, they're going to beat you. Like a Gardner Minshew, you give him time, they're going to beat you. The name of the game is to get after the quarterback and force them into bad decisions, force them to panic. And that's what the pass rush did, and they did it without Will Anderson, without Danielle Hunter. Like, everybody's giving Jalen Petrie his flowers, and great. Like, I'm here for the Jalen Petrie, redemption tour, because he wasn't very good last year. I like the fact he's playing nickel. I think he's better in the box. But that interception was more on the pass rush than it was anything that Jalen Petrie did. Jalen Petrie was in the right spot, right time, and had the pick six. But that was on the pass rush. That's why it's important to get to the quarterback, and that's why the Texans built the roster the way they did, to get to the quarterback. And look, DeMeco's a defensive-minded coach. This is the type of defensive roster he wants.
Well, and you mentioned it. Getting to the quarterback means that when you're putting him even in the nickel, where I was really impressed was with Petrie. We know he puts his nose in there and he likes to tackle, but when they do some of their blitzes and they start doing some of their exotics, and you see Jalen getting right into the quarterback's face and going in and disrupting things in the backfield, and you know what kind of hitter he can be, I think that's going to be fun, too, to see if he settles in there, and the fact that we already know that he can hit, he can tackle, and that DeMeco uses him as kind of like a missile that gets in there. That's fun to watch getting to the quarterback, no matter who else is playing safety.
Yeah, he wasn't a good tackler last year, but he looked good in that game. Like, he looked good in that game. So here's hoping that Jalen Petrie, because he's playing mostly nickel, he's gonna play safety in 4-3. If you just look at the starters and the ones, like, they played some 4-3 on that second series, and he was back at his safety spot. So when they go 4-3, he'll play safety. When they're in nickel, he's going to play nickel, which I wonder what that does for, like, a Dez King on this roster. Like, if he's not – like, the Texans don't keep multiple nickels. Go look at last year's team. They kept Tavier Thomas over King. Then they brought King back when there was an injury, and then Tavier Thomas was pretty much an afterthought. So I'm really interested to see what happens at that nickel spot behind Petrie. Like, does King make this team? So I think that he could be on the roster bubble, and let's not – forget that he was cut last year. So I find that to be interesting. But what else stood out to you in that game?
I mean, Stingley. The pick on, you want to talk about a pick that was not really to his credit with Petrie on the pick six. The pick that Stingley made and the fact that it's not just about the covering, and I know everybody was raving about his hands as well, but just stride for stride and dives out, makes that play, gets that pick. I just think he's set up to have a really, really big year. And the fact that, you know, you're getting to a point now where you've got a lockdown corner that is going to be one of the top corners in this league that you can just leave on an island and know that he's gonna lock down whoever he's got is fantastic.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's really good. And we gave Caserio a lot of grief in year one for drafting Stingley over Sauce. And I'm not even going to say Stingley's better than Sauce, although that would be the very popular thing to do, doing radio in Houston, to be pandering all of this. I think they're both really good football players. I'm happy with who the Texans have. I'm happy. And I was the Sauce guy. I knew him from Cincinnati, watched him play. I thought he was going to be really good. I wanted Sauce over Stingley. I have no issues having Stingley over Sauce. Stingley's a stud. The only question that I have with Stingley isn't that he can cover. It's, okay, 1 year in the league, he'd been hurt. Last year, he wasn't really, even though he had a little bit at the beginning of the year. So is he a guy who can stay on the football field? Because I have no doubts that he's a really good football player. I have no doubts that he is really stinking good. The missing panels are obvious.
Glare.
It's like,
for lack of a better term, right? What was it, right? The 20 yard line?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure it'll move based on the sun. But, I mean, most games are new. And maybe not most games are new.
I looked it up. Their first noon game at home isn't until week four. So there's a little bit of time that they still have to get it fixed if they can. I don't know if it's possible by then.
They said it was supposed to be fixed by week four. So maybe that'll avoid some of the bad.
Yeah, because they have two road games, and then the first home game is the night game against the Bears, so that it won't be an issue for that game.
Yeah, hopefully it's done by week four, because I did read somewhere, I think, that it was supposed to be done by week four of the season, but that's tentative, of course.
You can't get these parts at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was distracting. I just wondered how – I was wondering on the field making plays how bad that was on them. I mean, you could see it coming down on them, but it was brutal. My first thought was they've got to get this fixed by week one. You mentioned with the schedule they might catch a break, but that was awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's like old Texas Stadium, though, where they left a hole in the roof so God could watch. Maybe he wants to watch the Texans this year, or at least
the
first 4 weeks.
When they show it move and everything like that, man, it's bad.
Yeah, the missing panels are obvious. I hope the first drive of the game, though, isn't a microcosm of the year. You moved it with ease. First team offense moves it with ease. Stroud's just throwing the ball over the park, moving it into the red zone with ease. Like, with ease, no resistance at all. You know, you're pass blocking well, even though the Giants had their dudes that were playing. Then you get into the red zone and you stall out in large part because the run game is iffy at best. And look, you're still without your starting offensive line in its entirety. Joe Mixon did not play in this game. So there is room to improve here. There is hope that once you get the entire starting offensive line, once Joe Mixon is there, that the running game is going to be halfway decent. But we're kind of running out of time, and what we've seen so far is that the running game, especially with Dameon Pierce taking the rock and the running back position, the starting running back position, iffy at best.
I'm glad you said the name there at the end, because I was going to ask, is the running game iffy or is Dameon Pierce not iffy? Because Steelers game, he was 4 carries for 4 yards. Mm-hmm. This game against the Giants, he was 4 carries for 5 yards. But you look at some of the other guys on the team, like Cam Akers, his yards per carry is fine. Our guy, J.J. Taylor, his yards per carry was fine.
And backups mostly.
I know. But when you look at the rest of the box score outside of Dameon Pierce, the running stats aren't that bad. It's really a Dameon Pierce. I mean
3.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, I know. Well, but yeah, sure. But so obviously weighted down a little bit by Dameon Pierce, and Jawar Taylor didn't do, or Jawar Jordan, that is, didn't do a whole lot either. But yeah, I think it's mostly a starters and the Dameon Pierce issue. Like, once they have all the starters on the offensive line, once Joe Mixon's back there, I think it's going to look not dynamic, but a lot better than what we've seen.
Can't look worse.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, you've got to have better production from the running game, and he does, you know, glass half full for Pierce is the fact that he didn't have, you know, Laremy Tunsil, and he didn't have the full complement to be able to do what he's capable of doing. But when you look at it, he's still doing the same things of just running it kind of full speed into the line, and it is worrisome. And Cam Akers still has that little burst, and he's got that shake where I think that right now Cam Akers, to me, would be a safer and better pick to be the backup running back to Joe Mixon, and there's also, we're putting a lot on Joe Mixon now. No matter how much I'm fired up about him, you're putting a whole hell of a lot on Joe Mixon when the season starts.
Week one, you need to spell Joe Mixon for 5 carries. Who do you have more faith in getting the most amount of production out of those five carries? Cam Akers, Dameon Pierce.
Easy for me, Cam Akers.
Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Cam Akers, Brian, is he unanimous? Your microphone is off. You
forgot
to turn it on.
Yeah, sorry.
That's going to be a fine in Kangaroo
Court. Cam Akers easy.
Yeah. So I think the Texans are seeing the same stuff. Like they went out and signed Cam Akers once camp started. They said good things about Dameon Pierce, but of course you're saying good things about Dameon Pierce, probably because you're trying to trade him. I think that Cam Akers will be ahead of Dameon Pierce by the time the season starts. I'm in favor of kicking the ball through the end zone. This new kickoff rule, just kick it through the end zone. Like you're gaining a difference of maybe 5-7 yards per offensive start, but you're also adding the risk of them running it back, for a touchdown. I don't think that the way the Texans do things, and Frank Ross, their special teams coach, I don't think they're going to be in favor of kicking it through the end zone, but I am a fan of kicking it through the end zone. I would just kick it through the end zone, give the other team the football at the 30-yard line every single time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's an interesting new wrinkle for the fans. I didn't think it was broken enough to have to fix it. So, you know, depending on how you want to try and treat that, I just think, is it really worth it for the 5 to 7 yards? And for me, I think the chances are going to be upgraded again. Someone's probably going to – I think you're going to see some injuries. I would rather go back to the old way of kickoffs.
Well, but if you're coordinating it this year, like you're the coach,
yep.
What are you doing? Are you kicking it through the back of the end zone? You're trying the high pooch kick, trying to, you know, limit them from getting to the 30-yard line, try to shorten their – or I guess lengthen – the distance they need to drive, like what would be your game plan?
I would be fine. I mean, I'm fine just kicking it, trying to kick it right on the edge of the goal line and then take your chance in coverage, because I still think that you're going to end up tackling them, like you said, between the 20 and the 30-yard line, and you're going to be just fine. And I think there's so much congestion there. I still think it's going to be tough to see the return game be that beneficial, but you know, I'll take my chances with that because I just don't think it's that dynamic.
That's why I'm kicking it out of the back of the end zone. I think eliminate all risk.
I think I'm mostly kicking it out of the back of the end zone. I guess, you know, if you have a scouting report on team and their kick return game is terrible, then I might try to take a few more risks. But otherwise, I just trust my defense. Like, if the Texans had a bad defense that you couldn't trust, then maybe I want to take the risk of getting the extra yardage to help them out a little bit. But, you know, if it's 5 yards difference, I trust this defense to be able to handle it, and I'd rather just mitigate the risk completely.
Yeah, that's why. And the other part of that, too, is you only get so much time in practice. You can eliminate practicing it mostly. Like, yeah, here, Kaimi, go kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. But you're not working on it as much, so you can allocate your time on other things. Secondly, like, I think this is a great, you know, the great point that DJ brought up last week whenever he was on. A lot of times you're keeping specialists because of how they are in the, you know, kick coverage game, punt coverage game. And like in a Ben Skowronek point, like, do you want Ben Skowronek on your coverage team, or do you want to keep John Metchie? Like, okay, kick the ball to the back of the end zone, and it's a very, very easy decision. And that leads to John Metchie. John Metchie, first off, Case Keenum was responsible for bringing the most out of John Metchie. You saw who was quarterbacking whenever John Metchie's emergence happened, right? It was Case Keenum bringing the most out of people. But finally we saw John Metchie do what we've been waiting for John Metchie to do.
It's right here in my notes. Metchie finally shows up. I've been waiting for it, watching for it, trying to see how he's going to play and if he's going to play his way onto the roster this year. And this were the first signs where you could really be encouraged that Mechie's going to make this roster and Metchie can do some things. And you're right. I mean, not only from the standpoint of who threw him the football, but when you hear the stories, too, about how Case has kind of taken him under his wing and he credited Case for being kind of big brother to him, that's all great because we needed to see something from John Metchie, and thank goodness we finally did on Saturday.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked good to me. Real quick, we're going to keep talking about Texans, but Luis Garcia has been ruled out for the 2025 season. Joe Espada mentioning it to the media. Luis Garcia will not pitch for the Astros this season. So his return will have to wait until opening day 2025. Blankers nailed it.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, I hate to be right on that one. But yeah, I mean, look, and the main thing now is just make sure that we're not dealing with a lingering Lance McCullers type situation. Make sure that whatever it is or whatever needs to be done between now and spring training next year, that they can get that taken care of. Because you've already shown with the addition of Kikuchi, with the way that the top two guys are pitching now and Arrigetti's emergence, that you can get by without Luis Garcia this year, and I think we had all kind of penciled him off as just a long shot. But now you just got to make sure he's ready for next season.
Yeah, he should be. I mean, he should be trending in that direction. Should be just rehab. Like, he had the surgery. He's supposed to be just rehab, getting him to be game ready. So he's been ruled out. McCullough's ruled out. This is why you can't count on Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy next year, though, by the way. Like, no. Fool me once, shame on me, or shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So this should be the lesson learned going into next year. They were saying in the offseason, they were saying in the build-up to the trade deadline, we're going to get Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers. How many times did Dana Brown say getting Luis Garcia and getting Lance McCullers will be like adding two pieces at the trade deadline? He said it all season. Next year, you're going to have the same thing with Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy. Learn your lesson from McCullers. Learn your lesson from Luis Garcia. You cannot count on those guys to pitch next year. If they surprise you and they come back, great. You make a tough decision whenever they are fully ready. But you have to go into next season with the idea they are not going to pitch the year. A couple of other notes. Verlander has officially announced the starter for Wednesday's game. So that's good. Verlander has made the return back. He's only made 10 starts this year. He will be back on Wednesday, according to Joe Espada. And Alex Bregman, this is from Spolane. He said that Espada said, Bregman took ground balls, hit in the cage today. He's asking, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Good for Espada to give me a little riddle there. All right, 713-780-3776. We talked about the Texans, Giants. What were your takeaways from it? Also, I've added a guy onto the 53, and I've taken a guy off the 53. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I've kicked a guy off of my 53, and I've added a guy onto my 53. Damian Pierce gone. I don't think Damian Pierce is making this football team. I'm sorry. We all agree. Cam Akers, you trust him more than Damian Pierce right now. He's just better in this scheme, and they went out and got him. I don't really care what coaches say behind the microphone. They're going to say good things about everybody for the most part. Now, there are some clues, like DJ picking up the clue the other day on Hutchinson about how D'Amico Ryans is showing the team, like, this is how a play's done. This is effort that we're talking about. And then showing an Xavier Hutchinson video. It's like, okay, well, they feel pretty highly about an Xavier Hutchinson. Cam Akers, to me, is the backup running back on this team. They love Dare for, like, the versatility he brings, pass protection. They like him, so he's guaranteed a spot on this roster. But in addition to, like, Damian Pierce not producing well last year so far in two preseason games, is also the fact that I think they have three young running backs that they like. And they have the option to pick one, guarantee one to make this 53-man roster, and then hope and, you know, all of these, pray that the other two guys make it through waivers and land on the practice squad. I think they like the British Bulldog Brooks. I mean, they brought him in as an undrafted free agent. They drafted Jawar Jordan as a sixth rounder. And then our guy, J.J. Yeah. Taylor's making plays. So you have three. I mean, J.J. Taylor's not like a fountain of youth. He's not super young. He's older than you would think. But Jawar Jordan, a rookie. The British Bulldog Brooks, a rookie. So you have two rookies that, you know, I think that they like, obviously. They have Taylor, who they brought in, was on the practice squad last year. I think they're going to give one of those guys the final running back job on this 53 and then hope the other two guys make it through and land on the practice squad. So the fact that you have three guys that they like, the fact that Damian Pierce looked bad last year, has looked bad in the first couple preseason games, I think they're going to move on from Damian Pierce. Now, I think they would like to trade Damian Pierce. Now, they're not going to get much. You might be able to get a six-rounder for Damian Pierce and a seven through the whole late round pick swap thing. I really don't see Damian Pierce on this roster anymore.
No, I agree with you. I thought that they would probably be looking to see if a team would like to trade for him based on what they saw in year one in his career and thinking that maybe that with their system and a different scheme that they could revive him a little bit and that it wouldn't cost much to get him. But, yeah, I just think that, look, I was impressed by Taylor. I thought that he's got some shake, and he looked pretty good, too. He's got some burst. So I think that there are running backs that are capable because they're not struggling just with the system and trying to get yards the way that Pierce is. And maybe it's the best for both sides because Pierce with a fresh start in a different system might be able to do something. I just don't believe in him as being a running back to carry the football on this team.
I think it's this scheme, too, that's like the specific thing there. Because I agree. Like, I think there's going to be a team who they have different schemes that fit Dameon Pierce's strengths better that would trade a six-round pick for a Dameon Pierce. Like, but you're not getting more than that. No. I even think it's a coin flip whether or not you get that. But I have him off the 53. Like, I'd rather see Jawar Jordan on this team. I'd rather see the British Bulldog on this team. I'd rather see J.J. Taylor on this team than see Dameon Pierce on this team. I'm sorry. And I like Dameon Pierce. He's just not a fit. And I think it's overwhelmingly obvious now. And they have running backs on this roster that I think that they rather keep. I officially do have John Metchie on the 53 now. I had not prior to this, but he showed me enough in that game where it's like, okay, he's still young, he's still cheap, he still has this year and next year on the roster, on the under contract. Go ahead and keep Metchie. Now, I am putting Noah Brown on the pup. Mm-hmm. Skowronek is also hurt. He didn't play in that game, so I don't know if they're pupping Skowronek, but I don't see Skowronek making this team over Metchie. Part of this was DJ talking me into it and, like, does he lose value with the new kickoff rules? I think there is truth to that. I think it's a really good point. So Metchie makes the jump to me. Noah Brown's on the pup. Skowronek's either off or on the pup. And, yeah, I'm keeping those six. Nico Collins, Diggs, Tank. I'm keeping Woods still.
I was just gonna say, what about Robert Woods?
Hutch and Metchie. I actually think it comes down to Woods and Steven Sims. If they want the returner, I think they keep Sims. If they want to keep the veteran in the room, I think they keep Woods. You could save $5 million if you move on from Woods, but they're not hurting for money. They're over $20 million under the salary cap.
We've seen Woods go back and return some kicks, too, if he has to. But the fact that they could have another veteran if injuries pop up that has been – you know, able to plug and play and work well with CJ, I think that's better than seeing if Sims could do something if you absolutely need him. So I think if push comes to shove, it's between those two guys. That's why I was curious if you had Woods on or off. I think Woods would be, you keep Woods before you keep Sims.
Now, there's some things that come into play here. Maybe they want the specialist and they go Skowronek or Sims over Woods. Maybe Noah Brown's not a pup guy and he's just ready to go week one. Well, then that's probably going to make Woods, the odd man out here too. But, I have those six currently. We'll see where Noah Brown's at health. I rather, it's almost the Bregman conversation, I'd rather have Noah Brown 100% in week five rather than Noah Brown 85% the first four games of the year. And what makes it a little bit different than the Bregman conversation is at Noah Brown's your wide receiver four.
I was going to say, you're in a position
of
strength.
You can wait.
Yeah. It's not like with the Astros pressing for offense and looking for any possible answer that could step up and get a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many talented receivers in that room right now that you don't have to rush him back.
That's where it's different. Like Noah Brown being ready to go week one, how much does that help your offense whenever you have Collins, Diggs, and Tank all healthy? I would say it's minimal.
Mm-hmm.
I would say let's just put them on the pup. That way you keep seven receivers, and then let's see where you're at in week five. Maybe you have a knock. Maybe somebody's hurt. Maybe you're willing to move on a little bit easier from one of these guys than you otherwise would be. So, I have Collins, Diggs, Tank, Woods, Hutchinson, and Metchie. I also trimmed a quarterback from my 53.
Boyle?
I've trimmed two quarterbacks, I guess, from my 53. Yeah. I only have two quarterbacks making it. C.J. Stroud, Davis Mills. Yeah. I hate to do it, but I'm an equal opportunity hater. I would cut my mother if I had to. And in some ways, cutting Case is like doing that. So Case Keenum will not make the 53. There is a new rule this year.
The new rule,
there is a new rule this year where you could elevate your emergency third quarterback from the practice squad. You could not do that last year. So the fact that you can do that now, why are you wasting a roster spot on quarterback number three, especially if you have a deep roster like the Texans do, where that 53rd cut's going to be really, really tough? Would you rather keep an extra non-quarterback, or would you rather keep, a veteran like Case Keenum? Case could also make the practice squad, perhaps, because I'm not sure how many. It'll be tough. But if he's your third string quarterback, you're not keeping him over the 53rd guy on this roster. You can sign a quarterback to the practice squad. Maybe it's Tim Boyle. Maybe that's why they brought in Tim Boyle. And then they elevate him on game day, which actually doesn't count as an elevation because you only get so many of those a year.
Right.
So that's a new rule this year that was not in place last year. So you can call up the emergency third quarterback from the practice squad. Last year that was not in play, which is why they carried a third quarterback. This year that it is in play, I don't think they carry a third quarterback on the 53.
No, I could see that happening. But now, so you could actually do that with Case, right?
He could be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he might, but he would have to, every other team would have to say no thanks.
But I think that part of it, too, is at this point in his career, he likes being back in Houston. He's comfortable here. I'm not sure that he would want to go anywhere else either, to where that might be a good thing for him.
It's a big difference in money.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a big difference in money. And, like, you look at Minnesota, who's had the quarterback injury. Right. Like, I don't know if he ever crossed paths with O'Connell, but that's a system that he's comfortable in. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if there would be a team that would pick up Case to be on their 53. They might not. And then Case is just the practice squad quarterback. Yeah. But I do think that's why they brought in Boyle. I think there was something to that.
Okay, because that's interesting to me, too, because I thought with that rule, that's something that you could actually manipulate a little bit to your advantage. But, yeah, I mean, I could – look, Case is a lot of things. I think his veteran leadership, his presence, we talked about it, the fact that he has been like a big brother to Mechie, the fact that he and CJ have such a great relationship and he's helped them in a lot of ways, that's fantastic. That was exactly one of the reasons why they brought him in last year, and then he ends up helping you late in the season. It's phenomenal. But Davis Mills has looked really good as the backup when he's been in there, and that's something that I'm not sure we were all sure of him doing at the start of training camp, and now you feel a hell of a lot better about the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I think so, too. And now he does have the injury to monitor. 2422 package Damian and Keenum to the Vikings for a pick next year. Neither guy has tons of trade value, and the Vikings, they have a very similar running scheme than the Texans do, too. So I don't know if that's a great fit for Pierce. Can Case coach for $3 million? I think that is what Case is going to do. I think he is going to transition into coaching. I think he'd be great at it. 713-780-3776, 9666. New kickoff rule is lame. No surprise onside kicks anymore. The percentage of recovered onside recovery was already low enough. I'm not a fan of it either. I hate the new kickoff. Yeah, I know you feel the same.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. It's just gimmicky. It's taken from another league. You don't need it. It's not that bad. The game wasn't hurting that much, or was, you know, you're going to make that big of a difference just by doing what you did.
1022, would you elevate the kickoff differently if it went to the 40-yard line instead of the 30, similar to the out-of-bounds penalty? Yes, yes.
That would be a difference maker.
I'm in favor of kicking it through the back of the end zone if it puts it on the 30. If you're talking about the 40, then we have an entirely different conversation. So, yes, I would evaluate it differently. Texans look good on both sides of the ball, but I have some concerns with the running game. Your thoughts? Yes.
That's exactly what we've been talking about. Look, I think Cam is that's why I think it was such a savvy pickup at the time. We didn't know what we didn't know about. Is he going to be able to come off two major injuries? How he's going to look? But what he's shown me so far, and just being a guy that's not going to be the number one, that can do a lot of things and catch the ball out of the backfield, has made me feel a hell of a lot better that if that's the best you do at number two, you're fine. And they could also still be looking at other rosters and figure out if there's another back they could bring in.
Yeah. I mean, Cam has had some really good games when he's been healthy, even since he left the Rams. So, and late in the year with the Rams 2 years ago, he had some really good games. Now, two Achilles, like, that scares you, but he's looked fine. Yeah. Like, he's looked all right.
Yeah. And the one thing I did want to mention, because I know we've been talking about it, and CJ is CJ, his poise in the pocket is borderline getting to the point where I feel like it's elite. Like, he just, nothing rattles him. And for all we've seen over the years with Deshaun and everybody that just wants to tuck it and run or try to make the big play, when they were pinned back on their own goal line, and the rush was coming in, and he stepped up, then he stepped back, then he went over the first layer to Schultz and got that 20-yard gain or whatever like that. And it's like, boy, you can't underestimate just how poised he is when the rush is coming, and that was one that stuck out to me.
Especially with the direct comparison to Daniel Jones handling a rush in the end zone, exactly the opposite.
Yeah, I love him. I'm a huge fan of CJ. Brian, anything we didn't cover you wanted to get to?
No, I think we covered it all.
Look at us. We're just good.
I think the other thing, too, was interesting to see Bullock playing a little bit with the ones. Bullock getting some run with the ones, and the fact that they kind of like him and they trust him at safety with the ones, which was good.
I think they want him to be their starter by week 6.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain, not that they have a deadline, but I think that they are grooming Bullock to be a starter for them before the end of the year. They like him, it seems like. Now, I don't know if it's week 1. I still think that Murray probably has the upper hand week 1, but I do think eventually they transition into that.
Good tackle, too, on Singletary.
Yeah.
At the goal line. Shows he's not afraid to put his most safe, you know, some
which is a knock on him, actually.
And so the fact that he put his nose in there and stood him up at the goal line was great.
30-39, thoughts on Kate Stover making an impact this year? I think he'll have some games where he makes an impact. I'm not drafting him on any of my best ball teams, but, yeah, I think he'll be a factor.
They like him. I think they've got plans for him long term, though. They like it, the fact that he can develop into being a really good tight end for them.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Long term, I like him, but this year he's probably your tight end three. So, his week-to-week, you know, quote-unquote impact, I think, is going to be fairly minimal.
See, I actually have doubts with him being, like, a long-term starter. Like, I don't know if he's
Is that because he's too so much of a physical? Skilled,
so athletic. Like, I think he's a good piece to have for his 4 years of rookie contract. I don't know if he ever develops into a clear-cut number one tight end.
Just like a
block. I think it's more skill and, like, talent. Like, to me, he's not all that skillful. He's not, like, the prototypical tight end. He's more just kind of, like, he's going to outwork you and, like, out-tough you.
Well, he's a beast, too. They like him because he can block. They like him because he's athletic, but he's strong. But can he catch the ball, to your point? Like,
well, I think he can catch the ball, but he's not, like... You look around the tight ends in the NFL, they're like 6'4", 250. They run really fast and all have great hands. Like, Stover's not that.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to get the kind of Mark Andrews or, you know, Kelsey or Kittle or those type guys. He can catch it a little bit. CJ likes him. But his real strength is literally his strength and athleticism and getting in the trenches and then being able to give you kind of those safety valves.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason he was a fourth rounder. Like, if he was 6'5 and ran a 4'5 and was this unbelievable athlete, he would never got to the fourth round. But I do think he'll be valuable to the Texans, just not, you know, elite tight end someday. Hockley, do you think you guys, do you think one of these young guys could be Arian Foster 2.0 that is so excellent in the zone scheme? I'm not going to put any of these guys on Arian Foster just yet.
Yeah, no, I'm not going that far either. Look, I think they can be a piece that can be utilized and be positive. I'm not going Arian Foster.
All right, 713-780-3776. It is time for our Mailbag Monday. What questions do you have for the Bees? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What is your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, what is your question for the Killer Bees? Pena?
Hello?
Yeah, Pena.
Come on, Pena. This is your time to shine.
Hello?
He can't hear us.
Pena!
I think
your
it's
time
a,
to
I,
shine.
I think it's a board thing. The listener is not able to hear us. Pena, you're going to have to text it in. 713-780-3776. Sorry about that, Pena. You have to text us in. 713-780-3776. 6860, preferred fuel when grilling. Gas, charcoal, wood, etc.
I love charcoal. The charcoal to me, grew up on it for the most part. Loved the tailgates and when my dad would use the charcoal. So I'll go charcoal.
I like it when somebody else is doing it, preferably. Yeah. Food always tastes a little bit better whenever it's somebody else that's cooking it. But if it's me, gas is easy. Yeah.
Charcoal's the
gas
flavor's
is
better.
Easy, but charcoal flavor's better. Wood flavor's pretty good too, though.
Yeah, it's I agree with that. That would be second to me. But yeah, that char grilled taste is just something that that's from my childhood on. That's what I prefer.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the HRP listener line. If this doesn't work, Ryan's fired. 713-780-3776. Question for the Bees. Pena, what's your question for the Bees?
Hey guys, I'm sorry. Every time I get on, I hear like a static noise, and I didn't hear it this time. I didn't know if I was on the air or not.
It's all
sorry
good.
Sorry about that.
You're all right.
So my question for y'all is shrimp. What is y'all's preferred way of eating it and just making it? A grill, a boil, or fried? That's about it. Thank you. Have a great day.
Oh, shrimp?
Yeah, he said shrimp.
Yeah, I love me some shrimp.
Fried, for sure.
Disagree.
Fried? Yeah, fried's going to number one.
No
I mean, I'll take shrimp 1,000 different ways.
Me too.
In fact, I'm going to have some this weekend coming up. But my dad's birthday's coming up this weekend. He always wants to go to a seafood place for his birthday. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to have some fried shrimp this weekend.
I'm going to go grilled. I love grilled shrimp. But again, growing up with a family where my mom and dad owned and operated their own restaurant. And my dad, the easiest thing on the weekends would he just fire up the deep fryer and go with the fried shrimp and fries.
You guys eating a bunch of shrimp in Wisconsin?
Oh, boy. We did. I mean, yeah, and it was awesome. Fried shrimp is great, but I'll go grilled.
I love shrimp. It's one of my favorite. The issue whenever you fry it is if you really like shrimp and you fry it with too much batter, you're kind of losing losing the shrimp a little bit.
That's
you're kind of losing the flavor. If you fry the shrimp, I'm okay with fried shrimp, but it better be a very light flash fry.
I'm with you.
Coconut shrimp ain't bad either. It's not my favorite, and I'd rather have it fried, but a little coconut fried shrimp ain't bad. Now, both of y'all are wrong. Saying there's wrong when somebody else's opinion. Blackened shrimp.
Oh, that wasn't an option. All of the above.
Yeah, he's asking us how we like our shrimp, though. Payne, you didn't give us the best option of all. Blackened shrimp is fantastic. Give me some blackened shrimp.
Yeah, my wife hates the blackening flavor, but I think that's because she's from the north. She's not as used to the Creole-style cooking, but I love blackened shrimp.
Yeah, blackened shrimp's awesome.
Fried would be third for me, actually. Fried would be last. Yeah, give it to me grilled, give it to me boiled, give it to me blackened. I'll take all of that before fried, because I like the shrimp.
Yeah,
I
you
like
do the shrimp. The shrimp cocktails and the boiled shrimp, man, that's always fantastic as well. But yeah, I mean, I grew up on the fried, but I've gotten away from it. There's a lot better ways, and blackened is one that he did omit.
Yeah, he did omit it. 713-780-3776. Question for the Bees. Ocho, what do you guys think of joint practices not only being televised, but televised in red zone channel form?
I don't need the red zone form, but I do think that right now, with the way that they've kind of gone away from the four preseason games and the fact that we see less and less of the starters playing, with a lot of teams holding them back even this week, those joint practices become more and more intense and more important. And I would like to watch them. I would be dialed in to watch some joint practices to see ones versus ones instead of some of the stuff that we're subjected to seeing in preseason games.
Yeah. I would love for them to be televised. I think it'd be great. I've kicked around the idea of going this week, but it's way too hot, and I have baby duty in the morning. I think it's a great idea to televise them. I would absolutely watch them. Red Zone Channel, I agree, is too much. I don't need them to bounce around. In fact, I want to see every play. Like,
yep.
I really don't care about other people's joint practices a whole lot either. Like, I would watch them, but I want to be lasered in on the Texans, you know?
Especially when we're talking about different position groups that we're watching. If we wanted to see early on, if we wanted to see how Laster stacks up against the one receiver from another team, or we want to see how Bullock is capable of playing safety, or, you know, some of the things on the position groups that we're watching, or, you know, for Kenyon Green being able to block against someone else's D tackle in a one-on-one situation with the ones, I'd love that.
Yeah, it would be, I think it's a great idea, Ocho. But I
think it'd be great, but I wouldn't want it live. There's just too much dead time. Like, I would need some sort of chopped up, you know, like, not necessarily a highlight reel, that's too short, but basically a condensed version. Skip through some of the dead time and give me the action. Because obviously on the field, too, you got different groups going against different groups on different sides of the field. So it would need to be produced a little bit, but I'd be into it.
You want a condensed game. That's fine. I don't need to watch it live either. Eric the Driver, what's y'all's go-to burger toppings?
You guys already know. Yeah, not tomato.
You don't like tomato on your burger?
No.
That was our joke because of the fact that they accused you of going with tomato over bacon.
Tomato to bacon.
Yeah.
Well, I would go tomato, lettuce, pickle, probably an easy mustard.
No mustard for me.
Easy mustard.
I'm going cheese, grilled onions, grilled mushrooms, and I probably don't even need any condiments.
I'd be cheese, bacon, crispy onion straws, and mustard.
Yeah, I like my burger basic usually, though. Pretty basic when it comes to burger.
If it's a good burger, I'm with you.
Did Blankers eat Lake Michigan shrimp?
I don't think so.
3358, fried shrimp with panko. Is that how you pronounce it? Panko?
Panko.
I like that on my cutlets. My chicken cutlets. Just that little crumble.
It's like a Japanese breadcrumb.
Yeah. I like to do... I like that with my wife once made the chicken katsu curry.
Sure.
With that on it. It's pretty good for schnitzel, too. I get a little cutlets. You don't like curry? Curry's so good.
I don't like that.
Corey says grilled shrimp and a jalapeno with cheese wrapped in bacon. That is fantastic.
That sounds great.
That is so good. Keith from L.A., who will win in a 2-on-2 basketball game out of the 97-5 lineup? I'll take us.
I'll take us, and I'm not even blinking.
Yeah, I'll take us.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree. What's the best combo for shrimp? Getting hungry.
Are you guys scallops fans?
Love scallops.
I love scallops, too.
Love scallops.
Shrimp and scallops are fantastic, and the same thing. For me, the grilled scallops are fantastic, and blackened scallops are really good.
I would probably go steak over scallops if I'm getting, because I like steak. I like a little surf and turf.
Sure.
So if I'm going best combo for shrimp, give me steak. Of course, scallops are fantastic.
Yeah, I love them.
Fantastic. What's your dream car?
Dream car. I'm not big on the cars. I would like a really comfortable SUV.
Okay.
So I don't know.
You don't have a classic car that always caught your eye?
No. And I had so many cars break down on me ever since I started driving that I just need something that's extremely comfortable and reliable. So I would go SUV. I don't know, Range Rover.
Yeah, Range Rovers are nice. My dream cars would ever pay me to drive their car. if I'm being honest.
You want that big Tesla?
I do like the Tesla trucks.
I just saw the new one that's black. Mm-hmm. And even then, the shape and everything just turns me off.
But I'm pro gas. So, like, I'm kind of in a little bit of a dilemma. If I ever bought a Tesla, it would be my secondary vehicle.
Okay.
I don't think I would ever buy the Tesla truck. It's just not practical enough for me. But I would get a Tesla car and then have, like, my truck on the side.
Yeah, those... people rave about the Teslas. I mean, driving around and everything like that, they're quiet. They look very, very comfortable. I know one of my buddies has one, and my best friend got in the car, and he put it on the whatever the autopilot, and he was so uncomfortable. He said, "You either got to stop the car or whatever. I can't do it."
Yeah, I don't like the self-driving cars. I wouldn't trust it. They go very fast though. Their get up is quick. Very quick.
Think about like the electric golf carts without a governor. They can fly pretty quick.
They're fast. Who had a worse ROI, Jose Abreu or Jake Asman? That's not nice. Jake's still catching strays.
Red Weasel makes it.
J-A-K-E. Jake. Food group for the rest of your life. Mexican or Italian?
Mexican, easy.
Yeah, Mexican.
No doubt. I mean.
Well, for easy. You, for sure, yeah.
Do I even need to say anything?
No, I don't.
And I'm Mexica.
There we go. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's hit our Willibits. We haven't done a Willibits in a while. You never know what you're going to get with Willibits. You just know it's going to be really, really good. Willibits with the Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about HR&P. I love HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. Business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you with HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any or all of these areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. They're going to keep you up to date with all that you need to know, what's going on in the world, what's current, what's going to help you in your business. They're the best. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P is going to find a way to help. That way you can spend your time back in the things that interest you within your business or just growing your business. And HR&P does it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You're going to love that, but you're also going to love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. That's 281-880-6525 or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Let's play Catching a Stray.
Catching Stray. She says that funny. Texter, I was the one that asked about the dream car. I'm disappointed. Blanker says a comfortable SUV, and you say a Tesla. You guys could get that now.
Yeah,
I'm practical when it comes to my cars. I'm not a huge car buff.
Same way.
Give me whatever is the best to get from point A to point B, maybe some chores on the weekends. I'm not a huge car guy. I'm just not practical. Give me practical.
Me either. And I don't know how you guys do it, but like for me, my car gets beat up because I'm just always constantly taking the kids and practice and my back seats. If we need to go somewhere as a family, we're taking Lisa's car anyway. So it's, yeah, I don't care what I drive.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint you. We're here to disappoint. It's what we do. All right. Catching strays is what she said. So what are we doing here? People caught strays over the weekend or what?
Yeah, there was, especially in these are all from the football world. Some just casual comments, as the name Catching a Stray might suggest. Just casual comments thrown out in the middle of these either NFL broadcasts or, you know, sideline reports or things like that with coaches where you're like, man, do they really need to take that shot? And they did. And we start here in Houston with John Harris from, I guess you could say, the flagship, even though, I mean, his show airs on the
Texas
flagship.
TV.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him the flagship.
Yeah, I mean, his show only airs on the flagship, though. So I guess it's a gray line.
I caught a little bit of that new show today, by the way.
Oh, the new host?
Yeah, I turned it on just to see what it sounded like, see if they did anything different. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a sitcom that when the actor's like, you know what, you're not paying me enough, I'm not going to do this anymore, and the company's like, okay, we'll just hire another actor to play the exact same character. That's what it reminded me of.
Is that right?
It's like the exact same show, except now you have like somebody else playing the character of Landry Locker.
I didn't even
it's
see
so
who,
weird.
Did they do that?
They didn't change a thing.
I didn't even see who the new lineup was.
Was it Two and a Half Men when Charlie Sheen left? Did they replace him?
Yeah, they replaced him with Ashton Kutcher. And he was a different character, though.
Oh, okay.
Different character. Like, it reminded me, like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, remember when the mom?
Yeah.
Was it Ann Viv? And Viv, I don't even know what season it was. It was early, season three, season four.
Season three, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Aunt Viv all of a sudden was somebody new, but it was still Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
They also replaced the whole house with no storyline, too. All of a sudden, the living room and the kitchen was completely different from season one to two, and there was no mention of it.
So weird. That's what it reminded me of, though. It was like, Aunt Viv is what it was. All right, my bad. So what did Harris do?
John Harris, he decided to take a shot at another NFL quarterback on just a random call of C.J. Stroud.
Rip, and that's really tough for a young dude to handle. On 32, oh, what a strike. Fits it in perfectly, and Stephon Diggs announcing his arrival to the Houston crowd. You know, Kevin, this Wednesday in practice, you'll see this just get inside your DB, and CJ will hit you. I don't know if Josh Allen would have, but CJ will put that ball right on the number.
Okay. So, I like this one.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun, but it had a lot of NFL media hand-wringing, like, oh, why would you take a shot at Josh Allen? Then Warren Sharp decided to go super analytical nerd and post all of Josh Allen's, like, short yardage passing stats and where he ranked against the rest of the NFL. People took this very seriously for some reason. Well, when it was just Johnny, if you know Johnny, Johnny makes jokes like this all the time. He's making
a
joke.
It's a shot. It is a shot,
but Johnny makes jokes like this all the time. He's obviously sticking up for his new guy, and it was, I think people took this way too seriously.
He didn't need to do it.
Were they all listening to the Texans broadcast? Because that wasn't a national game.
No, it only takes the one awful announcing to pick it up, and then it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's not broadcasted nationally. Like it might be on NFL Network, but they don't have a national crew. They take either the whatever team. I heard this live, and I was like, "Dang, John, you didn't have to do that." And I'm not an Allen guy. I thought it was funny, but kind of weird. A guy who's employed by the Texans taking shots at Josh Allen. I'll just say that I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I don't know how the Texans HR loves the idea of him taking a shot at Josh Allen. Yeah, I don't know how much they like that.
Coming from that world where you either hear it from the football operations staff or you hear it from someone else that says, we don't want to ruffle those feathers, you shouldn't do that. I give him credit for having the stones to say it.
It'll be interesting because Johnny Harris is on the sideline for these Texans games. Yeah. And it'll be interesting if Josh Allen scores a touchdown and looks over his way if he knows what he looks like.
He's going to take a shot. All right, what else we got?
All right, so Julian Edelman was on the 49ers, I believe it was the 49ers broadcast, and was talking about his Super Bowl favorites and decided to give a little comment about Lamar Jackson.
I've learned my lesson. I'm never betting against the Chiefs again. Okay, I will never bet against them. I lost a lot of money, but it's not up to the Chiefs. We all know what the Chiefs are. They got Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Spagnuolo, Chris Jones, and everyone. It's up to everyone else. We need to see a Joe Burrow come out and do something, stay healthy, start fast. You need to see Lamar Jackson, who's been on a milk carton in the playoffs. So he's missing. And then, you know, you got to see the other guys. There's going to be a dark horseman, but...
But right now, your money is on the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Okay, a little shot at Lamar.
He's on the milk carton, which is a very dated stray bullet to throw as well.
I don't know how much I liked Edelman here. One, the horseman is the... It's not a dark horseman. It's a dark horse. He was also talking out of the side of his mouth whenever I saw this. And then he had to explain the joke. He goes, Lamar Jackson's on a milk carton. He's non-existent. You didn't have to explain the joke, Julian Edelman. He was green.
Well, he might have had to because such an old reference.
Milk cartons, I think that's still a normal reference.
I think it's
a fine reference.
Now we put him up on billboards.
But he was redundant. He goes to milk carton, then he was redundant and explained the jokes, and he disappears. We knew what you meant, Jules. We knew what you meant. I think he was trying too hard. Maybe it was one of the first few times he's been on TV, and he was trying to make a statement.
I don't know how much he's been on TV. I know he had a TV commercial at one point. But.
Now, neither one of these strays have been wrong. John Harris was right. Josh Allen's incredibly inaccurate. And Lamar Jackson does disappear in the playoffs. So, like, both of these strays have been correct.
It's more so having the stones to say it.
Yeah. So next one up, this one also has a Texans tie. They were talking to Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel on the sideline. I believe it was during halftime or right after the game, and just asked him simply like how Tua was doing, and he took it in a direction I don't think anyone was expecting.
I was happy with it. We had the same play, the first play of the drive, as we did last year in Houston, and he completed it instead of throwing a pick, so that was a good start.
Apparently, Mike McDaniel has not forgotten that interception that Tua threw a year ago.
Man.
Would you call him the mad scientist?
I don't know if I've ever called him that.
Or something like, I mean, he is kind of a mad scientist, though. I'm sure he probably.
Yeah, you wouldn't pick him out of a lineup and identify him as a football coach.
I called him something. I don't remember what
you did.
I
called him. You had a name for him, but he looks like.
It looks like an insurance adjuster.
Either that from the Geek Squad or he's just a mad scientist type guy. But he's the kind of guy that will never let the mistakes or the mishaps go. I can see him bringing it up, but that you didn't need to do that. That's your guy now. You just signed him to a big contract.
I mean, he was joking with him. I think.
The tone of delivery didn't seem like a joke. It seemed like he was burying him.
He has that kind of relationship with him, though. Like, he'll throw Tua jabs. Like, he'll throw jabs at his players, but he's also super friendly with
them. Yeah, they had him mic'd up during the training camp this year when he was walking around practice, and he was jabbing at a lot of different players. I even think Tyreek Hill in his contract.
It's very much his personality. Yeah. They were the in-season Hard Knocks last year.
They were.
And it is very much – I love him. I think he's hilarious. Tua today was like on a podcast blasting Brian Flores. Y'all catch that?
Yes.
He's like, Brian Flores would tell me that like the worst things in the world every single day.
I mean, good on him. And again, maybe it's kind of like once Josh Hader got his money, he'd go two innings. And once Tua got his money, he decided he could just be free and say what he wanted. Boy, he went scorched earth on Brian Flores.
Yeah, that was interesting. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Stephen Gilmore dream is over. It is over. He's officially signed, and the Falcons are shutting down Michael Penix. Why? Why would they do this? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at getting your hair back, and he does it with a variety of different treatments and ways. One is PRP treatments. It's not a procedure. It's literally like fertilizing your lawn. You've heard athletes doing it for years and years. The PRP actually, it's basically getting your blood going so that it stimulates extra growth and better growth, and you can do it for more than just your knees and your elbows. You can do it for your hair, and they do it right here in the Med Center. The other way to do it is the full NeoGraft procedure, which I've done both. I've had PRP after I had the NeoGraft. Phenomenal. Best in the business at doing it is Doc Linville and his staff, because they're local, because they know what they're doing. They're going to walk you through every part of the process, and they're going to explain it to you so it all makes sense. It's not the sprays and the creams and the foams that just mask the problem. It's solving the problem once and for all. And when you have a consultation with Doc and his staff like I had, you can ask questions and get answers. And one of the first things I asked about was, well, how do you know that the hair is not going to go away that you're putting there? And he said, essentially, it's like the fact that no matter where you lose your hair in your hairline or up on top and back, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. And the more I thought about it and have friends that have lost their hair, I always am very, curious why they always still have it like a wreath around the sides and back of their head. He says, look, genetically, you're not going to lose it. I take some of that, I repurpose it, put it where you need it most, and in no time at all, you're going to see that hair, and because I'm taking it from a place where it doesn't go away, it's going to be there for the long haul for the rest of your life. Fantastic to me. If you want a consultation like I had and don't want to pay the $150 like he charges for people off the street, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com, sign up for your first appointment. That appointment is free of charge. No signing on the dotted line, no cash out of pocket, no commitment to make. Just you going in to talk to Doc and his staff, getting information about PRP and the NeoGraft, asking questions, getting answers, and leaving you with the information so that you have something to consider and ponder when you're thinking about, do I want to try this for getting my hair back? If you do, you won't be disappointed, because I'm here to tell you, it's going to be there, it's going to stay there, and you're going to love the way your hair looks. It's going in the same direction, the same color, everything great. That's why I did the procedure. Check them out and tell them I sent you by, because I would tell and recommend this to anybody. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.